The Lord is good to us, and I thoroughly enjoy gathering together with you brothers and sisters, and the Lord opens our eyes, he opens our ears and our heart to help us to know. He interprets what we don't understand and keeps what he will cause us to understand. And over again, he has proved faithful to us. And we love his work, what he is doing in our hearts. Several months ago, I started looking at trying to understand and get the Lord's have the Lord explain to me what his purpose is in wanting us to dwell together with him. And as you may recall, I find that the verses where the Lord says, I have many dwelling places, and it's interpreted as mansions, and I just really struggled with that. But the Lord has helped and opened my eyes and shown me many things about what his purpose is and what he's doing among us. And the more I study and the more I read and the more I listen to the things that the Lord is saying through us to each other as we gather together, he is on purpose leading us to know more about him. He is opening our eyes and our ears, and he is showing us who he is and what he's doing and why he is doing it. And there are many things that we don't understand. I surely do not understand. I'm not going to explain it all, maybe most of it, but not all of it today. Now, the Lord, I have about a few, I don't know that they're pictures exactly, but they're things that the Lord has prepared for us that we may know him and know what he is, and to hear what he is doing and to rejoice and be built up in what he is doing among us. I wanted to start, and this is an easy one and a difficult one at the same time. I wanted to look at Psalm 23, and I have spoken about this. Many of the brothers have spoken about Psalm 23. I'm sure you have read it many times, and probably many of us could recite it if pressed. But the Lord is speaking through the Shepherd King. This is a Psalm of David. And one of the things, what the Lord, I believe, is trying to explain in these things that I want to share is he wants to explain, wants us to see and understand that we have entered into a spiritual life, no longer living solely by our fleshly ways and the things that we have heard and struggle with and cannot, as we have said many, many times, many, many people, we simply do not know, cannot control ourselves. We want to live according as Paul says in Romans chapter 7. We want to do better, but we can't. The more I try, the worser I get. And the more I discover about myself, things that I don't like. And things that I'm sure the Lord doesn't like. But the fact is, he has provided his Holy Spirit to fill us and to open us, and his hand And his heart is given open to us. He is our Savior. And he has died for us, and we are made clean. His blood has been poured out for us, and we are clean and able to be with it, to sit with him in the heavenly throne room. He is our guide. He is our shepherd. He cares for us. He leads us. He fills us. And he doesn't want us to be confused. He wants us to be confident in him, to know him, to believe him. And if we believe, Scripture tells, the Lord spoke, that the work of God, this is in John 6, I believe, that the work of God, that we want to do something to prove to him that we've done better, and that we are better, and that we love him. But we struggle, and he has made it so that we are cleansed from all our unrighteousness. And we find that hard to believe. I find that hard to believe, certainly about me. So I've got several places in the scripture I wanted to share and to open up our eyes, give us something to look at, that we might understand that we are not creatures of flesh only. We have his hand upon us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Holy Spirit interprets the groanings of our heart in our prayers and to up to the Father, that goes going to the Father. And so in Psalm 23, I want to step away from I have looked at this, and I suspect we all have. We look at this as this is the psalmist David speaking his heart and what he has learned from God, and he is expressing what he knows, what he has been told, and what he has learned about the Lord. And as I say, we know this psalm. It is very familiar to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He is doing this. He is accomplishing his purpose in us. He is feeding us. He is providing for our heart and our mind. He guides us in the paths of righteousness, because we can't walk the paths of righteousness. And it is because it is his purpose, for his name's sake. He, the Savior, has done this. He, the Redeemer, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he has paid the price for all our sin. And I know you know that. But I believe he wants us to dwell upon it. He wants us to dwell with him and to dwell upon the things that he is telling us, and to have the Holy Spirit interpret for us the things that he is saying and what it means to us and how it touches us day by day. Even though, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He's saying, very obviously, very straightforward, I am here because God has put me here, and I have no fear of what is going to become of me, or what he is going to do for me, or if he is going to stay with me. He is faithful. He wants me to know him. He wants me to dwell in his presence. Dwell to dwell, I can't come up with the right word. He wants us to have life abundant, spiritual life. He wants us to know. He wants us to rest in him. That's the word maybe I want. Rest in him because he is taking care of us. He goes on in verse 5 to say, thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's an amazing statement. And it's true. He has prepared for us a place. And he wants us, and he will protect us. He will fill us with what we need, even though we are surrounded by enemies and those who would seek to destroy us. He has anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. And then here's what I really want to get to, and it's a wonderful verse. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. That is an amazing statement. David surely had many struggles. He had a son that rebelled against him. The people turned on him. Just all these things that, so many things that he went through, things that he shouldn't have done. The impregnating Bathsheba and having murdered her husband to get her. This is not the picture of our David, our Sunday school David. For he surely did these things. He was and is the king after God's heart. The king of Israel after God's heart. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And so goodness and loving kindness of God is going to follow me, and he is going to provide for me, and he is going to be as my shepherd and cause me to lie down in green pastures, and on and on. And at the end of verse 6, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is making it so. I do not deserve any, not a moment, but he has made it that I have it. And it is true, and it is, he is keeping it for me. And by his power, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is over all creation. He caused things to come forth that he and the Godhead would be pleased. He was able and is able and will continue to be able to show himself, reveal his goodness, reveal his kindness, reveal his fullness. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you and desire to dwell in your house, in the place that you have provided for us, that we might walk, we might go in and out and find shelter, that we might go in and out and find pasture and be as your sheep. The second thing I want to look at in regard to dwelling with the Lord and knowing him and learning what he has, how is the Lord a accomplishing this? What does he do? With David, he made him a shepherd. He caused him to see all these things that he was able to write in these poems, these psalms all around Psalm 23, over and over again. I encourage you to read these things again if you haven't recently. But over and over again, he shows himself. He is the King of Glory, as I read earlier when we opened. He is the King of Glory. He wants to come in, and we need to open the doors, gates for him, because he is worthy. For the past months, Ed has been sharing on Wednesdays on the book of Job. And Job is an interesting I don't want to talk about Job. I want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about God. And that's what the book is about. The book is revealing who is Job, and why is God with him? What is God trying to show him? What is he trying to show us about himself through Job? Well, there's a lot in it. It's not a short book, but it is. It's a wonderful book. And Job has much. He has been given much. He has a God he loves and who has filled him and raised him up as a mighty man who loves God and trusts God and wants to be with God. And Job loses everything, and it happens on purpose. God is trying to not to help us understand why such things happen to people, but he wants us to know that he is worthy, that God is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of our love and devotion. And I had not known that until Ed had studied and shared that with us. That was not exactly the way I saw Job, but that's true. It is true. He wants us to know him and to know him deeply and intimately. And you may add, you can ask Ed, or that the messages have been recorded, so you can certainly listen to them or read them. I think they've been transcribed. But much of the book is, well, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but much of the book is just blather. It is men trying to explain, trying to say, Job, you know, you really deserve this. I don't know why, but you deserve it. God's doing something to you that you need correction, and he's applying the Board of Education to the seat of learning. Except it was more than that. God took away all that he had that was of value, all that was all that God had given him, he took away. And God challenged Satan to do that. And he wanted to know, does Job really love me? And Satan, of course, is saying, absolutely not. He wants you to be Santa Claus. As long as you're going to give him what he asks for and needs and protect him and keep him out of problems and harm's way, he's going to love you. But boy, you take that away, and he'll curse you to your face. Well, Job did finally buckle under the onslaught of the advice and his counselors, the counsel that his friends were giving him, and he he's lost. He's confused. He doesn't understand. And what I want to look at here, what I want us to look at, and I would encourage you to read in Job chapter 37, Elihu, and I guess maybe even before that, Elihu, who is one of the four counselors who came, and he didn't come as a counselor like the others did. He didn't come trying to condemn Job or trying to figure out what it was Job had done. He stood for God. Elihu knew what it was that God wanted Job to know. And he was able to speak it. And he told Job, and he said, don't blame God for all this. He is our Lord and our God. And in chapter 37, verse 21, and now men do not see the light which is bright in the skies, but the wind has passed and cleared them. Out of the north comes golden splendor. This is Elihu talking to Job. Around God is awesome majesty. The Almighty, we cannot find him. He is exalted in power, and he will not do violence to justice and abundant righteousness. He will not harm you because you are a sinner. He wants you to know him. He wants you to open up your heart to him, to hear him. And as soon as, and I didn't realize this before, but as soon as that chapter is over, Elihu is talking and may still be talking in this situation, but God begins to speak to Job. He tells him what it is he wants him to know. God, then verse 1 of chapter 38, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line upon it? Or on what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? We know Jesus is the cornerstone from the scripture. He is the cornerstone, the stone which the builders rejected. Who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Hallelujah. God is telling Job who he is. And he's telling him what he wants him to know, and he's saying, I have difficulty reading this without being sarcastic, and I don't think you should either. But he is challenging Job. He is telling him, I have done these things. I have put all this together. I have caused all these things to be. I have done this to you that you may know me. He claims, as he does claim, he did enclosed the sea with doors. When bursting forth, it went out from the womb. When I made a cloud its garment, this is verse 8 and 9 and 10 of chapter 38. When I made a cloud its garment and the thick darkness of its swaddling band, and I placed boundaries on it, and I set a bolt and doors. And I said, thus far you shall come, but no farther. And here shall your proud waves stop. He has the authority to stop weather, to turn it around, to change things, for the winds to be calmed and quieted. He wants Job to know him. He wants Job to hear his words and to know who he is. And he describes what he has done. He asks Job, where, in verse 19, where is the way to the dwelling of light and darkness? Where is its place, that you may take it to its territory, and that you may discern the paths to its home? All of these things he's going to tell Job are beyond him, beyond us. We aren't able to do these things. He is going to do it because he is the only one who can do it. He keeps all things in balance. He keeps the creation moving, the sun and the moon turning in the sky, the earth, the seasons, the tides, the lightning bolts. He is able to accomplish and keep and all things and make them his servants and his work, his to make all of these things work according to his purpose. So, read about David in Psalm 23. David knew God, came to know God through all the things that he learned as a shepherd and how God showed him, and he realized and he had faith to believe. Job came to understand that only God can give him what he needs. Only God can provide for him what he needs. That he is not able to provide for himself. He never provided for himself. God has always provided for Job. He wants us to dwell with him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to be close to him, to hear his voice, and to be touched by him, carried by him, brought forth by him. All right, I want to go to the New Testament and I have shared from Luke chapter 12 previously, but I'm going to share again Luke chapter 12 beginning in verse 16. And he told them a parable, saying, this is Jesus speaking, told them a parable, saying, the land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That That's what the world teaches us we should be working toward. Our lives are to be expended on working hard, getting things done, putting away, saving, investing, creating, trying to fulfill all our needs by our own hand. Is there anything more foolish than someone who is relying on that which will turn to dust? We do it. And he wants us to know that we do it, and he knows that we do it. God said to him, verse 20, "You fool, this very night your soul will be is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared?" God wants us, God wanted us to, Jesus in this, relating this parable, wanted us to see that it is not our effort, it is his provision. He is the one who keeps us. He is the one who requires your soul of you, and no amount of barns full of grain and fields full of cattle and sheep, none of that will keep you alive if he calls you. None of that will feed you if he takes it away. Who's going to enjoy these things? You think you've got it all figured out, but you don't. And he wants us to come to him and to trust him, and not to trust in the things of men, not to trust in a bank account or a cellar full of gold or in this case, barns full of grain. He wants us to know that he is the one. No matter what you have, he has provided for you, and he wants you to know that he is keeping you. He is keeping me. Life is, verse 23, "For life is more than food, and the body than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by being anxious, by worrying, by struggling, can add a single cubit to your lifespan?" Volunteers? The Lord has revealed himself. He is keeping us. He is the one who holds our life in his hand. He is the one who provides. It's not us that provides for ourselves. Verse 27, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass in the field," the grass in the field, that's what these lilies are, "the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith?" He wants us to dwell with him, to realize that he is providing for us each and every day. And our lives are full because of him. Our lives are what he wants them to be. He wants to give us, and he wants us to know, and he wants us to trust him. That he causes the beauty of the flowers and the fields. That he causes the sheep to graze and grow and be and multiply and the cattle. He causes all these things, not us. We think we do. We think we help it. We try to help. Usually we cause all sorts of problems. One more I'm trying to not to call this a story, but it is true. It happened. It's historic. It was a dream. Well, was it a dream? Revelation. The Apostle John. In Revelation. Chapter 5. And actually, I want to start just before that in chapter 4. verse 10. And the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created. We sang that. And it's true. Worthy art thou, our Lord and God. We are able to live with him. He is providing for us the food that we need, the drink that we need, all that we have, he provides. He has given us crowns, and we cast them before him because he is the worthy one. In chapter 5, verse 1, And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, God the Father, sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming in a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. And I, that's John speaking, and I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. Now, I'm not exactly sure. I'm going to pause there. I've got more to read. I want to pause there because I think John knew something. John had been with Jesus. John had walked with Jesus. John had spent time serving him. He was in prison, imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos. But he knew when he was in, when he came into this situation, when he was called up into heaven, he saw the book, saw the scroll, and he wept. And he wept because he knew how important it was. What he didn't realize is that anyone was able to open the scroll. Who could take it out of God the Father's hand? Who could open it? He was a man not depending upon human strength, human flesh. Verse 5, And one of the elders said to me, Stop weeping. Behold, the lion, and this is, let this resonate in your heart. This is spiritual life. He is a spiritual being living the life that God has prepared for him. One of the elders said to me, Stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. And I saw, and between the throne and the four living creatures and the elders a lamb, standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he came, and he took it out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and bowls full, golden bowls full of incense that are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, a song that we're going to sing. We are singing. And they sang a new song saying, "Worthy art thou to take the book, to break its seals, for thou wast slain and did purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Hallelujah. We will be there. We are there. How? God is not constrained by time. I am confused by that. But this is truth. This happened. John saw this. It is happening in heaven, or it will happen in heaven. And God is showing himself. He wants us to know him. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to be embraced, to sit down in his lap and to put our arms around him and have him put his arms around us. He loves us. He cares for us. He provides for us. He protects us. He keeps us. We are foolish many times, but he always is there. He is always with us. He wants us to realize that we do not have to try, that we can't live on our own. We can't live according to our flesh. We can't live according to our talents. We can try, and we do. I certainly have and do, probably will more. But the Lord loves us. The Lord loves me and you. And he wants us to know him. He wants us to realize that he has all this under his authority. And he has overcome. The lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book, title deed of the earth, open the book and to break its seals and to claim it for himself. Praise God. Lord, help us to realize how much, help us to enter into your presence, to enter into all that you have for us, all that you want us to know. Lord, we don't want to try to, we don't want to have to live on our own. You must do it. And we recognize that. And we ask you, Lord, to give us faith to believe and to trust you and to be carried away by your love and kindness to us. We thank you and praise you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.